Welcome to S&C's podcast series, S&C Critical Insights. I'm Ben Perry, a partner in the General Practice Group in S&C's London office. I'm joined again today by Vanessa Blackmore, who is also a partner in the General Practice Group in the London office. Today, Vanessa and I are going to be talking about some new temporary measures announced by the UK's Financial Conduct Authority, which we'll refer to as the FCA in this podcast. These measures were principally designed to assist UK-listed companies to raise additional equity capital quickly and effectively in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, whilst balancing the needs of investors. We're going to talk today about developments in four areas in particular. These developments will give UK-listed companies the potential ability to, one, issue more additional equity without having to observe shareholders' preemption rights, two, make a clean working capital statement in a prospectus or shareholder circular, while including assumptions relating to the COVID-19 pandemic. Three, where possible, make use of the simplified prospectus regime introduced by the EU prospectus regulation. And four, avoid the need to hold a shareholder meeting to approve a transaction. In relation to the first of these areas, preemption rights, the FCA has not actually introduced any new rules. However, it has made a public statement urging market participants to review recent guidance by the UK institutional investor bodies, and that guidance aims to maintain protection for investors against dilution whilst facilitating capital raising by listed companies. I'm now going to hand over to Vanessa, who will explain this development in more detail.
Thanks, Ben. So, by way of background, there are usually limits on the ability of a company with a premium listing in the UK to issue new equity securities for cash without first offering existing shareholders the right to acquire their pro rata share of the issue. We'll refer to these rights of shareholders as preemption rights. And by equity securities, we mean both ordinary shares and securities carrying a future right to ordinary shares, such as convertibles. These limits apply because, first, UK incorporated companies are subject to statutory preemption rights, whether or not they are listed. And second, non-UK incorporated companies that have a premium listing in the UK are required under the listing rules to act as if they were subject to the UK statutory preemption rights. These limits mean that a company with a UK premium listing can only issue new equity securities for cash without first offering them to existing shareholders if it first passes a special resolution to disapply those preemption rights. A special resolution requires approval of 75% of the votes cast at a shareholder meeting. What a UK-listed company will usually do is seek approval each year from its shareholders at its annual general meeting for a general disapplication of preemption rights to enable it to issue equity securities for cash other than to existing shareholders. But it's normal for that disapplication to apply only to a small percentage of the company's existing share capital. A restriction on the size of the disapplication is not required under law or by the listing rules. However, a group called the Preemption Group, which is made up of representatives from a number of UK institutional investor bodies, issues periodic guidance to the market on what it considers are acceptable parameters for the disapplication. Before the COVID-19 pandemic, the Preemption Group considered a request by a UK-listed company for a general disapplication of preemption rights to be acceptable if it allowed the company to issue up to 5% of its share capital for general purposes and up to a further 5% of its share capital in connection with a specified acquisition or investment. In addition, the Preemption Group recommended that a listed company should issue no more than 7.5% of its share capital for cash on a non-preemptive basis over a rolling 3-year period. The new development is that the Preemption Group has issued guidance saying that it will support requests by listed companies for general disapplications of preemption rights that would allow the relevant company to issue up to 20% of its share capital. The Preemption Group's new guidance has been publicly endorsed by the FCA. The Preemption Group has, however, place some additional limitations on a company's ability to use this 20% limit for new equity issues. The two main ones to keep in mind are, first, that a company needs to undertake proper consultation with a representative sample of its major shareholders in relation to the new issue. And second, that as far as possible, the new issue should be made on a soft preemptive basis. That means the arranging banks should allocate shares to investors in accordance with an allocation policy which, to the extent possible, replicates the existing shareholder base. However, the preemption group does recognise that the limitations of this mean that it is likely not all shareholders will be able to participate. Ben's now going to talk about some of the practical implications of this.
Thanks, Vanessa. As you say, we think that there are a few practical points that are worth mentioning in relation to this new development on preemption rights. First, a listed company would need to hold a shareholder meeting to seek approval for a larger disapplication of preemption rights if it wanted to take advantage of this. Listed companies that have not yet issued their AGM notices are in the best position in the short term to seek approval for larger disapplications. Companies that had already sent out their AGM notices prior to the new guidance being issued would either need to consider postponing their AGMs or holding separate shareholder meetings to approve larger disapplications. And both of these have cost implications. Second, for a UK company, it was already possible to structure an equity fundraising as a cash box transaction to fall outside the statutory preemption rights and therefore avoid the need to seek or use up a disapplication of preemption rights. Now, a cash box transaction typically involves the arranging banks subscribing for new shares in an SPV subsidiary of the listed company, using the proceeds of a placing of new shares of the listed company. The new shares, then, are technically issued by the listed company in exchange for shares in the SPV. Therefore, the statutory preemption rights do not apply, as the new shares are not issued by the listed company for cash. However, the preemption group had previously discouraged the use of cash box transactions by saying that any equity securities issued in a cash box transaction fell within the limits in its guidance. Therefore, the increase of this limit to 20% of a company's share capital will, in practice, give UK listed companies a greater ability to do new share issues using cash box transactions. And what we've seen is a steady stream of UK listed companies have been doing this over the past few weeks, and we expect more to follow in the coming weeks. The third point is that the new 20% limit will also give listed companies potential additional flexibility to issue convertible securities to raise new capital. And we expect to see more UK listed companies considering these in the months ahead. Vanessa's now going to talk about the second area, which is working capital statements.
Thank you, Ben. The working capital statement has been an important feature of the UK listing landscape for many years. It was then adopted by the EU in the Prospectus Directive in the mid-2000s and continues to apply in both the UK and the EU under the new prospectus regulation. The requirement is that a company must include in a prospectus for an issue of new equity securities a statement as to whether or not, in its opinion, the company and its group have sufficient working capital for at least 12 months from the date of the prospectus. The listing rules also impose a similar requirement for certain types of shareholder circulars. Working capital statements are supported by extensive due diligence, which includes detailed financial modelling undertaken on the listed company and its group by the company's advisers. The European Securities and Markets Authority, or what we call ESMA for short, has issued recommendations which specify that a working capital statement in a prospectus can only take one of two forms. These are, first, a clean working capital statement. This confirms that the company and its group have sufficient working capital for at least 12 months without any caveats, qualifications, assumptions, sensitivities, or cross-references to risk factors or other sections of the prospectus. Or second, a qualified working capital statement. This confirms that the company and its group do not have sufficient working capital for at least 12 months, with an explanation of why and a description of the proposed action plan to remedy the current shortfall in working capital. Qualified working capital statements are relatively rare, although one example can be found in the recent fundraising by Aston Martin, the UK luxury car manufacturer. According to the ESMA recommendations, disclosure of the assumptions in the financial models underpinning a working capital statement is generally not acceptable, as it places the onus on investors to reach their own conclusion regarding adequacy of working capital. While the FCA continues to support the ESMA position, what the FCA has now done is to make clear that it recognises that the economic impact of the COVID-19 pandemic and the policy response to it makes the financial modelling underpinning working capital statements challenging. In particular, one of the principles in the ESMA recommendations is that a company is expected to have undertaken an assessment of whether there is sufficient margin or headroom to cover a reasonable worst-case scenario. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, many listed companies are currently unable to model such a scenario. Therefore, requiring compliance with the ESMA recommendations could result in a significant number of working capital statements being qualified, and the FCA has recognised that these would not be very useful to the market. Therefore, what the FCA has done is to publish a technical supplement which sets out the following approach to be followed by a UK listed company when it's making a working capital statement. First, it may disclose the key modelling assumptions underpinning the reasonable worst case scenario while still making a clean working capital statement. The second, these assumptions may only be related to COVID-19 and they must be clear, concise and comprehensible. Assumptions unrelated to COVID-19 are not allowed to be included. And third, there must also be a statement that the working capital statement has otherwise been prepared in accordance with the ESMA recommendations. The FCA's new approach on working capital statements is temporary rather than permanent. It applies from April the 8th until further notice. Ben will now talk about the practical impact of the FCA's new approach on working capital statements, as well as a third area, potential use of the simplified prospectus regime.
Thanks, Vanessa. The main thing to keep in mind in relation to working capital statements is that a UK-listed company usually only needs to make a working capital statement in two cases. First, where it's issuing a prospectus for an issue of equity, or second, where it's issuing a shareholder circular. Therefore, we will only likely see the practical impact of the FCA's new approach on large equity fundraisings, as a UK-listed company can issue and list up to 20% of its share capital on a rolling 12-month basis without having to file a prospectus. The fundraisings which have been announced by UK-listed companies in recent days and weeks have all been for less than 20% of those companies' share capital, and therefore have not required a prospectus. As a result, we really have yet to see UK-listed companies taking advantage of the FCA's new temporary position on working capital statements, although we expect that this will happen as larger equity fundraisings are discussed. Turning now to the simplified prospectus regime, this is something which is available under the EU prospectus regulation to companies which have been listed for at least 18 months. The rationale for the simplified prospectus regime is that investors will already be familiar with the company as a result of the requirement for the company to make periodical financial and other disclosures to the market. Therefore, such a company is not required to publish a full prospectus under the prospectus regulation. Use of the simplified prospectus regime is voluntary rather than mandatory. However, what the FCA has now done is to publicly encourage listed companies, which are issuing new equity in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, to use the simplified prospectus regime where possible. And that's in order to enable investors to focus on the changes that have occurred since the publication of the company's previous annual report, as well as the reason why the company is issuing new capital. It's worth bearing in mind, in light of our discussion on working capital statements just now, that using the simplified prospectus regime doesn't excuse a company from having to make a working capital statement where its market capitalization is more than 200 million euros. Going back to the simplified prospectus regime, the idea is that having to produce a much shorter prospectus should enable UK-listed companies to be able to come to market more quickly and with less expense. However, use of the simplified prospectus regime may, in practice, not be an option where the offer is being made outside the EU into jurisdictions which they have their own disclosure requirements, such as the US. I'm going to hand back to Vanessa now to talk about the last development, which is in relation to shareholder meetings.
Thanks, Ben. Companies with a UK premium listing are required to hold a shareholder meeting to obtain shareholder approval for Class 1 transactions and for related party transactions. Under the listing rules, transactions are classified according to their size relative to that of the issuer as a result of applying certain percentage ratios. A Class 1 transaction is one where any percentage ratio is 25% or more, and so it is likely to be significant. A Class 1 transaction requires publication of a shareholder circular and approval by the company's shareholders in a shareholder meeting by a simple majority of the votes cast. A related party transaction under the listing rules is one between a premium listed company or one of its subsidiaries and a related party, and there are only some very limited exceptions to these rules. Related parties include any person who holds 10% or more of the voting shares of the issuer. A related party transaction requires publication of a shareholder circular and approval by the company's shareholders in a shareholder meeting. This is also by simple majority of the votes cast, but for a related party transaction, the related party is not allowed to vote. What the FCA has done is to temporarily modify the requirement to hold a shareholder meeting to approve Class 1 transactions and related party transactions. A listed company undertaking a Class 1 transaction or a related party transaction can now apply to the FCA for a dispensation from the requirement to hold a shareholder meeting. However, the listed company has to either show that it has obtained or undertake that it will obtain written undertakings from a sufficient number of shareholders that they approve the proposed transaction, so that the relevant threshold for obtaining shareholder approval would be met. Even if it is given a dispensation from the requirement to hold a shareholder meeting, a listed company still has to publish a shareholder circular in relation to the proposed transaction. Where the company has already obtained written undertakings from a sufficient number of shareholders when the circular is published, the transaction can complete once the circular has been published, provided all the other conditions which apply to the transaction have been satisfied. Where the company is yet to obtain written undertakings from a sufficient number of shareholders at the time when the circular is published, then it must release an announcement to the market when written undertakings from a sufficient number of shareholders are obtained. The transaction can then complete at the point at which additional announcement is released, again, provided that all the other conditions that may apply to the transaction have been satisfied. It's worth bearing in mind that the FCA's powers to grant a dispensation from the requirement to hold a shareholder meeting are quite narrow in scope. They only relate to a shareholder meeting that is to approve a Class 1 transaction or a related party transaction. A shareholder meeting, for example, to give a company power to issue new shares or to disapply preemption rights is held in accordance with the requirements of company law and the company's constitutional documents, which still need to be observed. We will come back in a future podcast to the question of what UK companies need to do to hold virtual meetings during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can find additional information on what we've been talking about today in our recent memo to clients, dated April 15th, 2020, which is called Update, UK's FCA announces temporary measures designed to assist issuers. This can be found on the main homepage at www.sulacrom.com. We hope that you and your loved ones stay safe and well.